It is Wednesday, November 18th, 2009. I'm Bill, and this is Where Icarus Flies. Well, we've got a great show for you this week. Let me give you a quick rundown of what's on tap. I want to talk about a great new show that's on the Sci-Fi Network called Stargate Universe, SGU. I want to give you a little bit of my take on the third episode of V. I want to talk a little bit about the website and give you a report there. And then we're going to move into our main topic of discussion this week, which is online information. What is your information that's online and why are people so afraid of it? So we'll talk a little bit about what you should really be afraid of and basically how we're all pretty helpless. We're going to introduce a new segment this week called Mailbag, where we take a look at the email that's come in. So we haven't gotten any before this, but we're now starting to get some feedback from our valued listeners out there. So thank you. Keep listening and keep sending in your comments, suggestions, ideas, jokes, criticisms. We'll take it all. And my good buddy, Joey Hoover, is going to be in the studio with me today to help me with the mailbag, because more than a few pieces of mail were for Joey. That'll be perfect because we'll have him in the studio and we'll move right into this week's Hoover Report. We'll do a little Masterworks Theater and send you on your way. So that is what's on tap this week for the Where Icarus Flies podcast. There is a new show on the Sci-Fi Network called Stargate Universe. And Stargate Universe, or SGU for short, is a hell of a show. If you're into science fiction at all, you got to take a look at this show. I believe it's on Fridays. I haven't watched it on Sci-Fi yet. I've watched it online. They're up to episode 8, so I'm a bit behind. I just finished watching the first three episodes, which is a three-part, not really a pilot, but the episodes in the, you know, spans three. So it was excellent. You can catch it on Hulu.com for free, but Hulu only keeps the last five episodes, so you're going to have to find those first three episodes someplace else. And I just did a quick search and was able to find a few sites that stream them for free. The quality was nowhere near as good as Hulu, but it was worth watching. So what is it? If you're familiar with the Stargate franchise, the movie was launched in 1994 about this scientist, Daniel Jackson, played by James Spader in the movie, who uncovered something called the Stargate in ancient Egypt, and it was this giant circle thing that sat in the desert in the ground, and they brought it to some military base, and they were able to open a stable wormhole between that gate and other gates that were light years away. And Kurt Russell plays Colonel Jack O'Neill in the original movie, who leads the original expeditions through the Stargate. Now, that spawned a television series starring Richard Dean Anderson as Colonel Jack O'Neill. And that was on for 10, 11 years, something like that. I have to look now. And that also spun a spinoff called Stargate Atlantis. So now we have Stargate Universe. Stargate Universe starts with a group of scientists and military folks who are on a far out outpost someplace in the universe called Icarus Base. And the ancients, the folks that originally built the Stargate and the, you know, passageways, the wormholes throughout the universe, had left an address. So there are what they call chevrons, and you can think of a chevron as basically like one of the numbers that you dial on your phone. So you would put in a code and you dial up another gate, and so you can go through it. Well, there was always 8 in the phone number, if you will. Well, the ancients had a 9th symbol. And in the original episode of the pilot episode of SGU, they figure out how to dial it. So, without going into the whole show, there's some mishaps and an attack on the base, and folks have to evacuate through the Stargate, and they find themselves on a ship. A ship, an ancient ship called the Destiny. And it's likely that that ship has been flying through the galaxy, through the universe, I should say, at faster than light speeds for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. So it's quite a far distance from Earth. And they have no way of dialing the Stargate within the ship back to Earth. So the ship is pretty run down, as you might expect, after millions of years, and parts of it are damaged. So in the initial episodes of the show, they're still getting a grips on where they are, how they can repair the ship enough to begin survival, and what the heck are they going to do next. So it's one of those shows where they've cast the folks off in some far-flung corner of, you know, in this, the universe, and they need to try to figure out how to survive, and they'll continuously be trying to figure out how to get home. Now, they do have some ancient communication devices that can cover the vast distances of the universe. Something called, I can't remember now, these stones that they take, communication stones, and they're able to take control of somebody's body back on Earth who's sitting near one of the stones. So they actually swap personalities. So the person on the ship takes control of the person at Earth, and the person at Earth, their personality moves into the person on the ship. So we're able to have some, you know, communication with Earth and some interesting conversations and such. So they're able to still keep their military command because they can report back to General O'Neill. He has been promoted, if you've been watching the show or the series, back on Earth. So the cast is quite excellent. Robert Carlyle plays Dr. Nicholas Rush. And so far in the first 3 episodes, his character is phenomenal. He's this Machiavellian scientist that you don't really know. Is he going to be a good guy? Is he going to be a bad guy? Or is he just plain whacked? Louis Ferreira plays Colonel Everett Young, who is a strong military guy, but he also seems to always know the right decision to make. They found a great, you know, kind of geek kid. David Blue plays Eli Wallace, and he was a kid who solved, if you ever saw The Last Starfighter, right? So in The Last Starfighter, one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, it's what I like to call, bubblegum sci-fi. It's just fun to watch. So in The Last Starfighter, this kid, you know, is in this Starfighter video game, and he wins the game, and the video games were seeded throughout, the universe in some manner, but certainly across the Earth, and they were looking for the person who could win because that meant that they had the skills to be a starfighter. So there was a secret test built in. Well, in the Stargate universe, Eli Wallace is a kid that plays some sort of online role-playing game, you know, World of Warcraft kind of game. But it was science fiction based, and he solves some puzzle, which, you know, was a mathematical puzzle the ancients had come up with. So, you know, immediately, you know, the Stargate folks report on his front porch and enlist him and beam him onto his ship. Jameel Walker Smith plays Lieutenant Ronald Greer, and he is just this angry Marine kind of guy. I don't remember if they're Marine or Army, but he is just kind of this... You don't know if he's psycho. You don't know, you know, whether he's going to, you know, save your life or shoot you in the head. And he plays the character very, very well. And there is more than a few other standouts in this cast. The acting is excellent. The storyline is great. Hopefully the writers over at V take a look at how a story should unfold. So if you haven't taken a look, check out Stargate Universe, because it is well worth your time. It reminds me a little bit of Battlestar Galactica, the new one, when it came out. I think it could be that good. It's not at the moment, but it's only been first three episodes. And they've been, you know, I shouldn't say surprisingly, I wanted to like this show. And I do like this show. And it's been refreshing to see an excellent show like this. So check out Stargate Universe on the Sci-Fi Network. Let's stick with science fiction for just another minute or two, and let me give you quickly some thoughts on the third episode of ABC's V, which I've been calling V the Reboot. Now, you know that I was pretty harsh on the pilot, and I was justified because that was garbage. The second episode, I thought it was a lot better, but it still wasn't that great. I mean, it was very, very slow. The third episode, which aired last night, I thought was a much, much better offering. I see potential in this show. The jury's still out, and I think it's still teetering. It could go either way. But if last night is an indication, then this show is going to get better. And it was, you know, I think it could be, looking back, I'm hoping anyway, that this is one of those times where we say, you know what, that show just needed to mature. It just needed time. And the networks just don't give shows time any longer. Some of the shows they've canceled after a few episodes just stagger me. And I know that, you know, we could probably spend a segment in the future on shows that they canceled prematurely. So I'm very, very pleased with what I watched last night on V, and I hope that the direction still points up. But let's face it, after that first episode, you couldn't get much worse. But I'm very pleased about last night's episode. So I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to give it a shot. And I'll report back from time to time and let you know what I think. Before we get to our main topic of discussion for today, I'm going to give you a quick lowdown on WhereIcarusFlies.com. If you saw my latest post, I put up a review I had written a little while ago on the first movie in the Twilight franchise. So I put up my review of Twilight, and I bashed the crap out of it because I thought Twilight was an actually abysmal movie. I think it was one of the worst pieces of junk that I have seen in a long time. I have hope for the next movie, New Moon, because I know they canned the director of the first one. And so far from the previews, it looks pretty good. And the early buzz on RottenTomatoes.com is that New Moon should be a lot better than Twilight. Now, this is not a reflection on the books, which I have not read, so check out the review. I also want to point out that my good buddy, Joey Hoover, is trying to figure out how to make a website. I'm going to help him out with that, and he's going to be putting up sometime, he hopes by January, the Hoover Report website. So stay tuned for that. We'll give you more details as it comes. If you have any suggestions or any feedback for the website, please send it on in, feedback@whereicarusflies.com. I'm going to be adding a few more touches to the website over time, but right now it's basically going to stay a blog. If you think discussion forums or other things might be interesting, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So that's just a very brief report on the website. Take a look at my Twilight review. I'd love to hear your feedback on that. The main topic this week is your information online. How safe is it, and what can you do about it? Well, I've had more than a few friends tell me that they don't buy anything online. I had one guy tell me, you know what, I don't use Amazon.com, I don't use PayPal, I don't use eBay, I don't pay my bills online with online banking because I don't want any of my information out there. And I've had other friends say, you know what, I won't sign up for Twitter, I won't sign up for Facebook, I won't sign up for, you know, LinkedIn or these other social media sites because I don't want my information out there and I don't want wackos and crazies tracking me down. Well, I have news for you. And the news is your information is already out there. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, you can be smart and there are ways you can help protect yourself. And that's what I want to talk about very briefly today. You know, most folks talk about, hey, I want to get this wireless network at my house and I want to, you know, put a password on it because I don't want people coming in and stealing my information from my computer. And I think you should have a password on your wireless network. But the likelihood of some hacker driving down the road and finding your open Wi-Fi and then going onto your computer and stealing information is very, very unlikely. Could it happen? Sure. And do some of you have banking information and taxes and other personal information on your computer? Sure, most of you, if not all of you, do. But hackers don't care about your single computer. If they wanted your information, they'd get it from someplace else. They're probably more interested in using your wide open network. But to be safe, get a password on there. Now, what about using online systems, online bill pay, or buying products online? Guess what? Your information is already there. Your banks have your information online. The government has your information online, places like the DMV and others. Your information's there, and there are, unbeknownst to you, companies that buy and sell and trade your information every single day. Now, if you never made a purchase on Amazon.com and Amazon.com gets hacked and personal information is stolen, it's probably not very likely that they get yours, right? So I'll give you that. But they might have it anyway. There are things like, if you followed my Where If tweets this past week, I sent out a link to just recently in Lincoln, Nebraska, hackers breached the state database and got a hold of a lot of workers' compensation information. And we have read many times, folks, it wasn't that long ago, right? Somebody from the Social Security Department had information on a laptop that was either stolen or left in a cab or somehow it got out of their possession and they never found the freaking thing. And there's been other times where banks or other folks had information on a thumb drive or on a laptop that disappeared or was taken. You know, for anywhere from $80 to $150 in most cases, I can get information about you, like your mother's maiden name, your last five places of residence, who you lived with, your phone numbers, your last five or six, you know, places you worked at, how much you made. That information is available for a price. And if you knew how to, you know, cull a lot of these databases out there, you could probably get it for a lot cheaper. So your information is there. Now, what do you do? How can you protect yourself? Well, not making online purchases, you know, could it be helpful? I doubt it, right? That's my personal opinion. What I think you need to do is just be safe. These phishing scams that are out there, I mean, be careful with those. A reputable company will never, ever ask you for personal financial information over the phone or in an email. They will never ask you to give out your password or your social security number. over the phone or in an email. In the early days of these scams, you'd get an email, and it was, unless you were an idiot, it was pretty easy to figure out these were fakes because they were written in broken English or very poor grammar. And the website they sent you to didn't quite look right. There was something fishy about it. But now they've become very sophisticated and very good at what they do. So the emails you receive look pretty legit. The websites they send you to look very legitimate. If you happen to look at the URL up in your address bar, you know, before it was this big long jumble that you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't look anything like my bank's website. Now they have it so it looks pretty good. In fact, a lot of these fake websites and emails I've seen, there are links from within their email or website that actually go to that financial institution's normal pages. They're looking for you to get to the place where you update your information. So what I do, and I think this is a good tip, if you get those emails, right, go to the website directly. Don't use the link from within an email. Go to the website's URL yourself. Go to your financial information or your account information, rather, and do whatever you need to do there. Don't use those links. There's a good website out there that the government puts out called OnGuardOnline.gov. I'll post this on the website so you can get to it. And they have a lot of good tips out there for dealing with keeping your information safe. And one of the best things you can do is create good passwords. Create hard-to-guess passwords. I know we all want easy passwords, because otherwise, how are we going to remember them? My tip for you is create a password, mix in letters and numbers and other special characters like dollar signs and such, whatever the website allows. Make it 10, 11 characters long and just force it to memory. Some folks want you to change it every month. Now, I usually change my passwords between every 6 months to a year. Otherwise, I won't remember them, right? And I know we have those problems. So we don't want them written down places. So do your best there. Places like Facebook and other social media sites, take a look at their privacy policies. Understand how your information is being shared. For example, on Facebook, I can set all of my information or pieces of information, but I have all of my information set to only folks that I've actually clicked and said, yes, you are my friend. They're the only ones that can see that information. So understand how sites use that. It's not unsafe to use a Twitter or use a Facebook, but be smart, right? I'm not a big believer in these folks that, you know, look at your Twitter account and say, oh, they're not going to be home, you know, for the next 6 months. But at the same time, it's probably, you know, a smart thing not to say, hey, I'm going to be gone for 3 months and no one's going to be in my house, right? Be smart with what you put on those services. We'll talk another time about, you know, idiots, you know, posting things that got them fired or not a second interview. So we'll talk about some other time. But for now, understand, take a look at your credit card bills, your bank statements every month if you're not doing that now. Identity theft can happen. It's not likely to happen, but it can happen. And when it does, it's really bad. There are services that can help you with identity theft problems as well. So make sure you understand privacy policies. I know those things are, you know, long and a pain in the butt to read. If you don't understand them, find one of your friends, find someone that does understand them. Know how these companies are going to be using your information. When I use credit cards online, you know, I use... You know, one of my credit cards has the ability to create a virtual credit card number. And that, you know, credit card number can only be used for one purchase, or I can set it for only a specific dollar amount. So if someone were to steal that number, it can't be used again. I'll put more information on the blog so you can find out some more tips on how to keep your information safe online. It's time now for the mailbag segment of the show, and we'll do this from time to time, well, as long as we have some mail to read. So we have gotten some responses via email, via some posts on the website, and a couple other places, so I'm going to go through some of those now. But I am going to need help, because some of these have to do with my good pal Joey. Joey, come on in, man.
Hey, what up?
Hey, yeah, thanks. Here, take a seat.
Hey, all right.
And we'll start going through these.
Nah, no worries.
So, Joey,
yeah,
I'll read through some of these, and feel free to jump in and comment. And then there's actually a couple, if you don't mind,
no.
That I'll have you read.
Oh, awesome.
Because they have to do with you. Is that all right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay. All right, let's get started.
Great.
All right, letter number one. And it was amazing to me. They have this out on the internet. So, you know, folks can listen to it from anywhere.
Of course.
But it really amazed me where some of these letters came from. So, letter number one comes from Greg from Waverly, Iowa.
Wow.
And I had to look these places up on the map.
Yeah, that's cool. Quite unexpected.
Yeah, I know. So, Greg says, great show. I enjoy Masterworks Theater. I like to write poems. Could I send some in for you to read?
Huh. Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, of course. We would love to go through any kind of original works. What do you think, Joey?
What do I think? Well, I think that would be wicked awesome if we had listeners that would send us stuff in that we could, do on the show here. That would be freaking cool.
Yeah, it sure would. All right, letter number two comes from Court from San Diego, California, and he writes, the Halloween ghosts are classic, and I'm stealing the idea. You know, we had a few comments, more than a few comments, on those Halloween ghosts.
Yeah, those were cool. Hey, believe me, for those of you listening out there, these ghosts were freaky. They freak me out every freaking time come here during the Halloween season. They're pretty freaking cool.
They are. They really are cool. And you know what?
Well,
I am going to post, before next Halloween, I will post directions on the website.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
Again, thank you to my sister-in-law for making those. Those are really cool.
That's a freaking great idea for you to post those instructions on the website.
All right. Well, our next comment comes from Sarah, and I hope I say this, from Gardner, Maine, our neck of the woods.
Huh, yeah. Cool.
Like a little bit of home. And Sarah writes, we loved the graveyard book.
Yeah, you know, I do not normally like the kid's book material.
Yeah, I know.
But on your recommendation, I did download that to my new iPhone and listen to it.
Oh,
and
good.
I gotta say, I did. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, that's great.
And I thought you did a good job on the whole, doing the Masterworks thing there.
Oh, thank you, Joey. And I gotta say, I had fun doing it. Maybe it came out a little corny, but that is a great book.
No, it was
and
good.
We'll keep doing stuff like that. So send in your recommendations for things you'd like to hear. So our next feedback is from a comment left on the blog. And Kevin from Fremont, California writes, really liked the episode, especially the Hoover Report.
Hey!
My kids were cracking up at his catchphrase. So they like that. I like Masterworks Theater better this week, though I still think Rodney Dangerfield delivered the definitive version of that poem. And of course, he's talking about Do Not Go Gentle, Into That Good Night.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
All times. So some thanks for the great feedback. And Joey, some good feedback for you, man. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I thought that was wicked awesome to hear such good words. So thank you. I'll keep trying my best. You know, I'm just kind of telling it like I see it.
All right. Our next letter, email rather, comes all the way from Sturbridge, UK.
Wow, that's cool.
In England. And I had to, Joey and I looked this stuff up.
Yeah, where the frick is that?
Yeah, I know. It's cool to see where this stuff comes in from.
Yeah,
it amazes me. Well, so Evan writes, Where Icarus Flies is pretty cool. Joey Hoover is spot on.
Oh, yeah. It gives you a big head.
It does.
Yeah.
Does he only comment on American culture? Will he get a chance to be part of Masterworks Theater? A couple of good questions, and I'll let Joey, I'll toss you question number one there. So do you only comment on American culture?
Oh, no. So the Hoover Report is all about, you know, things that suck, and that could be, anywhere in the world. And, you know, I'd love to hear about things that you might want me to take a look at to comment on. And, you know, more I will say on that in a little bit.
Yeah. And as far as the second part of his question, we got a little surprise coming.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah. So, you know, stay tuned for Masterworks Theater this
week. Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it will be. Okay. The next letter... You know what, Joey? This one really was sent to you. So I'm going to let you read this one.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Hold on. Let me call this up here. This one here, this email is from Candace. And this freaking name. What the heck?
That's not nice.
Not Candace's name, but where she's from here.
Oh,
Candace
okay.
is from Buckley in Flintshire in Wales. And, you know, What the frig was that? You know, I'm all for the other countries here, but that was a mouthful there. Candace.
Yeah, we had to look that one up on Google.
Yeah.
It's kind of near Liverpool.
Yeah, we did that. And all right, so she writes, Joey, I love the Patriots too. I am enamored with Tom Brady. Well, you know, come on, who is it? Let's you know, face it. And tried to get tickets when they played in Wembley Stadium. Even though it was over a three-hour motor ride. I guess that means car.
I thought
you were clever and very funny. I look forward to more gags and laughs. gags
good.
And laughs. I like that line. That's not normally how we would say, you know, I thought you were freaking funny. We would just say you're freaking funny. But gags and laughs, I guess I must, you know, begin to understand my international audience and, you know, my kind of international man of mystery appeal.
Give me a break.
What? Come on now. Just because I have this, unbelievable kind of charisma, what can I do? I am sometimes thinking it's a gift, sometimes it's a punishment.
Oh, you know, you got something all right. I'll leave it at that.
Hey, why?
Good buddy. Well, it was really cool to get feedback from so many different places.
Oh,
I didn't actually expect that. Did you, Joey?
No, that was freaking awesome.
Yeah. So that has been the mailbag for this week. Since we already have him in the studio, let's turn the show over to him. I give you now, Joey Hoover.
Hey, thanks, Bill. And this is the Hoover Report for this week. And the Hoover Report is where I get to tell you, the things that suck. You know, that suck.
Oh, yeah, we got it again.
Okay. This week, you know, how can I not start with football? If you saw on Sunday night a huge game, right? One of the biggest of the season so far.
Yeah, it was.
The Patriots versus the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, the Patriots lost that game. And I got to tell you, that sucks. Yeah, well, even more than that, you know, their defense crumbled there at the end of the game. You know, holy choke. That usually, used to be Peyton Manning's job to choke like the Patriots defense did. But I tell you what, they came down and they had a crucial call there, fourth and two, you know, deep in their own territory. And Coach Belichick, who I really admire, you know, that guy is, you know, he's just wicked awesome as a coach and usually, you know, brilliant. Yeah, but this time, he made the wrong call. They went for it, and of course they didn't get it. And, you know, Peyton Manning has a short field and then gets the winning touchdown and was able to run lots of time off the clock. So, you know, for that going on fourth and two, that sucks.
Oh, yeah,
you know, Coach Belichick, this week you make the Hoover Report because you suck. All right, while we're on the topic of sports, You know, it wasn't that long ago that the World Series ended, right?
Yeah, no, not too long ago.
Yeah. And, you know, the Yankees played the Philadelphia Phillies, and, you know, the fact that they made it there, God, just, you know, drives me nuts.
I know.
But
the
Yankees winning the World Series, oh, that sucks.
You know, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I knew you would. All right. Freezer burn. You know, freezer burn.
What are you talking about?
Freezer burn. You know, you put something in a package and you leave it in the freezer.
Yeah, then
it gets kind of the ice crystals all outside.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially ice cream. And I love ice cream. Oh, you know, I just went into your fridge there. And I wanted to get some cookies and cream, and I went to get it, and it got that, it turns into the crappy hard stuff right there. You know what? Freezer burn. That sucks. Okay, I got a couple more.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, because I just found out that we have some international listeners, and you know, they were asking, who was that? Evan, right?
Yeah, he was one of them.
Yeah, Evan was asking, you know, do I just comment on American culture? So, you know, you were from England, and Candace there is from England.
Yeah, you got it.
So, you know, I went and looked up some stuff that was happening in England, so I could help make some international commentary. And I saw that Andrew Lloyd Webber, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber, is in the hospital. I guess he was, battling cancer, and he has some sort of infection now. And I know he has done all kinds of, things in the theater. And although I don't usually, you know, sit there and watch people prance around on the stage and sing and stuff, I know he's important. So Andrew Lloyd Webber being back in the hospital there, oh, that sucks.
You are a sensitive guy.
Well, thank you. All right, and, you know, on a serious note, to end the Hoover Report this week, you know, drinking and driving, you know, having a few and then, you know, driving when you shouldn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what about
you? You know, on a serious note, come on, what's up with that, huh? Drinking and driving. Drinking and driving. That sucks. And that is the Hoover Report for this week.
All right. Thank you, Joey. It is now time for Masterworks Theater. And due to popular demand, well, one person asked, Joey and I were talking about it, and we thought it would be fun to let Joey take over Masterworks Theater this week. So, once again, here is Joey Hoover.
Thank you, Bill. You asked me to reach into my repertoire and pick out, something I really like. And I found a poem here. It's a kid's poem, but I really love it, even to this day. It's called I Think My Dad is Dracula, and it's by a guy named Ken Nesbitt from a book entitled My Hippo Has the Hiccups and Other Poems I Totally Made Up. So here it is. I Think My Dad is Dracula. I think my dad is Dracula. I know that sounds insane. But listen for a moment and allow me to explain. We don't live in a castle, and we never sleep in caves. But still, there's something weird about the way my dad behaves. I never see him go out in the daytime when it's light. He sleeps all day till evening. Then he leaves the house at night. He comes home in the morning saying, "Man, I'm really dead." He kisses us goodnight, and then by sunrise, he's in bed. My mom heard my suspicion, and she said, "You are not too swift. Your father's not a vampire. He just works the graveyard shift."
Well, that's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. A big thanks to my buddy, Joey Hoover, for joining us and giving us a wonderful performance on Masterworks Theater.
Oh, thanks. No problem. Anytime, Bill.
And we'd love to continue to do, from time to time, the mailbag segment. In order to do that, we need to hear from you, our listeners. Send questions, comments, original stories, poetry, something you want us to look at and read on the air. You can contact Joey or I by sending your email to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. Check out the blog, whereicarusflies.com. You can follow me at whereif on Twitter. And I know Joey.
Yeah, you can get me at the Hoover Report on that Twitter thing.
Yeah, so check us both out there. Again, I'm Bill. For my pal Joey, thanks for joining us. Where Icarus Flies. WhereIcarusFlies.com provides this podcast for your personal enjoyment, information, education, and communication. This podcast is copyright 2009 by WhereIcarusFlies.com. You may not distribute, modify, transmit, reuse, repost, or use the content of this podcast for commercial purposes without expressed written permission of WhereIcarusFlies.com. Requests for permission to republish or to copy and distribute can be obtained by sending an email to media@whereicarusflies.com. Thank you, and have a great day.